This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands
But it's Don. Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone. On this very special ALCS Game 1 edition of ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm right. You're wrong.
Good evening to Don.
I got a brick from the school.
Good evening to Don again.
You got cubes the size of an ottoman.
And good evening to myself.
Russell Westbrook.
Is that really worthy of a drop?
No. Well, you used to always rip me because of it. You always used to play that drop.
Yeah,
Russell Westbrook. Westbrook.
Well, that's different.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that was four times for you. I had an immediate correction, right? Tell them, let me hear one more time.
Russell Westbrook.
I just said Wussel.
Yeah.
One Wussel, a drop it does not need. I mean, you know what, though? I'll take
that
it.
Westbrook was a ground ball up the middle. Michael's Westbrook was a Schwarber home run from last night.
I heard it went 600 feet. I heard it hasn't landed yet.
It didn't even go 500. Let's relax. But still.
It was 497.
That's pretty big. That's a long way.
If Bartolo Colon hit a home run in that building, how hard could it be?
That's Bart Colon to you and me. Okay, guys. The ALCS roster is here for your New York Yankees. Yankees add pitcher Frankie Montas and Oswald Peraza to the roster. Of course, Montas was not used in the divisional series, had a shoulder injury. So it'll be interesting to see exactly where he will fit in. Let's hear from him on what his role will be.
I think I'm going to be out of the bullpen, but I'm telling whatever they want me to do. They want me to be an opener, whatever, a starter, reliever, whatever they want me to do, I'm willing to do whatever just to help in something.
Could you give 50 pitches, 60, 70?
I don't think I'll be able to get that far, but probably like 2 innings plus, something like that.
Okay. All right.
Well, they said that they watched him throw, and it's the best he's thrown in a long time. So I guess they see a batter or a lane in the Astros lineup that they feel that Montas matches up well against. So they're not looking for more than an inning out of him. That's why everything they do has a purpose, swing path, his pitch path, how they think they match up with that particular hitter. That's why he's on the roster.
Let's go back to last night. Aaron Judge on why he decided to kiss the logo on the jersey.
I've been watching a lot of Premier League soccer games, so I see those guys doing this. You know, just in the moment.
Giancarlo Stanton, is revenge against Houston on your mind?
Revenge is whatever for me. It's just what's right now. They're in the way of where we need to go, so now we got to take care of it.
Let's hear from the great Jessica Mendoza, who was on Bart and Han earlier, on what she thinks is the X factor for the Yankees-Houston series.
Anthony Rizzo. I do think he is a huge part of that offense. I know he doesn't have the like stardom of Stanton and Judge when we see those big home runs, but Rizzo is that guy. And first of all, he's sandwiched between those two dudes. Mm-hmm. And he has, as much as he's not small himself, but he has that like choke up with two strikes, small ball mentality, pull the ball to the right side to get a run in. And we saw him do that even in Game 5 to help add another RBI. And they're facing all righties. You want to talk about one weakness that Houston has? They don't got lefties. They've got righties in the bullpen. They got righties on the mound. They have one left-handed starter, but there is no left-handed specialist for Anthony Rizzo. So he gets to like, here we go. Mm-hmm. It's like Christmas for him. Mm-hmm. Righty after righty. So I feel like that part and piece of this is huge as far as for the Yankees offense.
Well, one thing I would say, a lot of the guys in the bullpen for the Astros have great numbers against lefties. So Dusty Baker has complained a little bit about not having a lefty out there. Well, you look at Montero's numbers against left-handers, they all have reverse splits very well. Same thing with the Yankees. Yankees don't have, you know, a left-hander that they could really trust. So I think all is good. You know, most guys could get out most guys. And also, Rizzo is really good against lefties.
Now, let's go to Luis Severino, who was asked about last night's victory celebration.
I mean, the champagne is terrible, so I think
help a little bit. Nobody likes that thing. So I think after, 10 or 20 minutes, everybody was tired. We went to the plane right away. I think everybody's ready. I didn't see nobody drinking much. Like I say, champagne was not great, but I think everybody's ready.
I was going to ask you, Michael, how much you think they celebrate on a night like that on the plane when they have to go at it again today?
I don't think they celebrated at all on the plane. I mean, they probably had a happier demeanor, but in terms of like they're not spraying champagne and beer on a plane, they might have been happy, but I'm sure because they knew they had to play today, they were studying tape.
Yeah, you can't really party, Peter, right? Because
I wouldn't think so.
It's a good 3.5 hour flight. What time?
Hate that
they...
flight.
We hate it very far.
What
it's an hour behind.
Wheels up, Michael.
Let's see. What time did the game end?
7:30.
All right, 7:30. Let's say they left an hour and a half after that, so that's 9. Then they probably take off at about 10:15. Yeah, they're getting in after midnight.
Yeah.
Here's Seve on facing a hostile Houston environment.
I mean, everywhere we go, we're not like, it's not here, it's everywhere. So it's going to be the same, if we go to Boston every year, it's the same. We go to, the only place that they really like us a little bit is Tampa because they don't have a lot of fans there. But, I mean, it's like that everywhere we go. So I think we're used to it and we embrace that. If they don't like us because, they think, we're good, if we can win.
Seve was also asked
to name one left-hander, by the way, Wandy Peralta. Shouldn't leave him out. He pitched in every game.
Seve was also asked, were you angry about the Astros cheating, and has that anger subsided?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, for the second that I hear about it, I was in the booth when I saw that homer go through my head. So when I think about all that, of course, I was mad at the beginning, but can't do nothing about it. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, if I stay angry, is that going to change something? It's not going to do nothing. So I just know I think in spring training, everybody was asking about that. It was too much. So like I say, now we got this team that's very good, they got great players, so we got a chance to go out there and compete.
See, now he lifted the curtain a little bit there without knowing he's lifting the curtain. He's talking about he watched that home run that ended the game. That was 2019. They didn't lose on a walk-off home run in 2017.
Right.
So I'm telling you, nobody would ever put their name to it. Most of the Yankee organization thinks there's something fishy that went on in 2019. Never been proven. Andy Martino's book actually prove that it wasn't happening, but there's still a firm belief that something happened there.
That's very interesting. You're right. That is very much that slipped through. Here's Aaron Boone being asked about his decision to put IKF back in the lineup.
Well, Giancarlo being in the outfield, so Carp's the DH, it just felt like more the righty lineup against Verlander is kind of the way I wanted to go. Obviously, I mean, he's probably going to win the Cy Young, and he's great against both hands, but especially tough against lefties. So I like the righty lineup, and I feel like Isaiah, when he's playing at his best, is a guy that's really tough with runners in scoring position down at the bottom of the lineup, and when he's playing well defensively, has a real impact. So I feel like for us to be at our best, we need to get him rolling in this as well.
I would opt for defense, and I believe that Cabrera and Peraza are better defensively at short. And since the Yankees are going to win or lose with home runs, that's not kind of Falefa's game. It's just not. But I think what Don said earlier, they made a trade for this guy. They assumed Josh Donaldson's contract to get this guy. They traded two players that Yankee fans really like. Well, they didn't like Sanchez that much, but Gio Urshela. And they want to show that, this guy's still our guy, although they didn't play him in the two must wins that they just played.
And
start him.
Boone was also asked, will shortstop be an everyday decision for him?
Yeah, it'll be an everyday decision. We got Peraza, we got obviously Cabrera who can play short, so it'll be just kind of matchup and game to game, but I feel like Izzy's going to play a big role for us.
I'm excited for tonight, guys. I'm geared up. I'm fired up.
Are you going to a sports bar to watch just to annoy Don?
No. Well, Don wouldn't care if I went because he knows I'm not a Yankee fan. He would. That would make perfect sense to you, right?
Yes, perfect sense.
So me going out to Blondie's right now, you take zero issue.
Zero.
But if I was a If you found out Anthony Pusick was going out to a bar tonight to watch, you think he's a hack. Like, yes. Flush it.
Yeah, absolute hack. And I'm getting a lot of pushback on Twitter about, well,
if
I like
pushes,
to be around
pushes.
Other fans, but you're not guaranteed that they're all going to be Yankee fans. There's always that guy in every room. There's always that guy who'll be rooting against the Yankees or just be annoying. I'm telling you, stay home.
If you go into Blondie's, though, ask for Jill, and she'll take care of Jill and Patty.
They do fantastic. A fabulous job over there.
They own the place. They are Blondie's.
They are the Blondie's.
Yep.
And you get the wings there are fabulous, but I actually got fried chicken there once. It was outstanding.
Everything they do is great.
You miss your days there, don't you, Michael?
Those were fun days. You walked in that bar and you didn't know how you were walking out.
Right.
Or with whom.
Wow.
I had my 40th, my girlfriend at the time threw me a 40th surprise birthday party there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Whole place?
The whole place.
Wow, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Where is she now?
She's not with me.
Okay, just checking. I assumed that. Let's, talking about fan camaraderie, my brother-in-arms with the Commanders, Tim Legler, was on with Greeny earlier talking about just how miserable it is to be a Commanders fan.
Season ticket holder in my family since the 60s. I've had my own seats now as an adult for a long time. I can't begin to describe how bad the environment is going to those games week after week. People I grew up with that were diehards like me, and I mean, I live it, man. I breathe. That's the one team I love, the one franchise I love, that flat out refused to even watch the games until he sells the team. That's the mentality around the fan base associated with it. So when you hear it and you think about the potential and the hope, if that were to happen, of maybe starting to get this thing revived. Because most people don't believe you have a chance to revive the franchise until that would happen, until it is no longer under his control. And that's how most people that support that franchise feel.
He is one, that is 1,000% correct. Wale, famed DC rapper and Commander loyalist, sent me a text earlier that was a picture, like looked like it was. It looked like it was off the Washington Commanders website, you know, like an ad for an authentic jersey. But on the back, it said number one Ursae.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty entertaining. Now, speaking of legs, on Get Up earlier, he talked about his concerns with this Lakers team.
Here's what stood out to me last night, including Russell Westbrook. This team doesn't play with any passion. They did not look to me like they believed they belonged on that court with the Golden State Warriors. It was a series of individual playmaking from LeBron and AD mainly. Westbrook had a decent night numbers-wise. The rest of their roster, they're just out there logging minutes. Like, no one's empowered to go out there and fit into a particular style where they feel like they can go be themselves. It's basically sort of get out of the way of LeBron and AD and just let them play. And at no point did it look like they had, you know, up on their toes where they thought we're out here tonight for a slugfest with this team to prove who we are early in the season. They looked like they caved pretty easily when the Warriors went on a run in the third quarter. That to me was the most demoralizing part of the night, because I'm looking at LeBron and AD saying, hey, these two guys are healthy. We always say that every year,
yeah.
But I don't believe that. Based on what I saw last night, they're miles away from being a legitimate contender.
I mean, look at what LeBron's getting himself into in his 20th year.
I know.
He thought he put together this great team, and the only title they won, and you can't say only, was the, you know, in the bubble.
In the bubble, yeah. And I just wonder now, with him wanting to get a team in Vegas, are the Lakers going to drive LeBron to an early retirement?
He's got to make it to Bronny. He's making it to Bronny.
He's making it to Bronny. And he's still a great player, but he's just, it's not enough.
This season, you get the sense that this season, Don, you know what, two words that you once uttered passionately could end up being the feeling around the season? Flush it.
Yeah.
That may be what this season is for.
After flushing it last year.
I know.
That's like, flush it! I mean, I know he wants to wait for his son, but does he want his career to end with, you know, two or three missed playoffs and nothing really exciting and just being criticized? And
well, he doesn't get criticized, at least, though.
No.
Well, you know where he wants to go, guys? Cleveland. That's a good team now with Donovan Mitchell. That's a good team.
And call me crazy. I'd like to go out on a limb and say that the Cleveland fan base would welcome him back with open arms.
I'm sure.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. All right, well, listen, we are going to say goodbye to Yes and continue ENN on the other side right here on 98.7 ESPN. Enjoy the Nets game, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if you know, Yankees have a big game tonight that we're going to talk about. Take your phone calls on it as well, 1-800-919-3776. And don't forget, you can listen to complete coverage of the 2022 Major League Baseball playoffs right here on 98.7. It's all brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Mentioned it briefly earlier. Fun opening night of the NBA. The Celtics, I know you probably did not. The Celtics paid tribute to the late, great Bill Russell before the opener yesterday. I got to tell you, I thought it was a really beautifully done tribute. It was intense. Video tribute plus a poetry presentation. It was really well done. You know what always chokes me up related to Bill Russell? When I see that clip of him getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
There's just like, it's almost like you can see in him the joy. Like the Medal of Freedom's nice, but the fact that he was able to see a black president, like it just, the moment hits so hard when you see that. And really, I thought a nice job by the Celtics, who, good first step in moving past the Ime Udoka controversy of the offseason. After that, the Warriors hammered the Lakers after receiving their... If you thought that Draymond Green was going to show up sheepishly to the arena, that is not what happened. He arrived wearing a bright green, borderline like satin-looking suit, and did not seem at all any different than Draymond.
Yeah, it's not a suit of contrition.
It was not. He didn't wear like the navy blazer and a tie and just call it a day. But hey, Kawhi Leonard asked if he watched any of the games last night. Let's hear from Kawhi.
See from the Lakers game.
Yes, you watch it.
Just being in San Diego.
I don't watch basketball like that anyway. So whoever we play, I'll see the film, but I'm pretty much not watching the games on TV.
Glad to have Kawhi back. Doesn't it feel like it's been forever?
Yes.
It's going to be very interesting to see what Kawhi Leonard does this season. It's also been a while, though not nearly as long, since we've seen Tua Tagovailoa. And here's Tua on his injury and his recovery.
It's been a process, that's for sure. Having to deal with interviews with the NFL and the NFLPA, and then having to go and see doctors outside with second opinions. A lot of it has been, I would say, pretty stressful. I wouldn't say it was scary for me at the time, because there was a point where I was unconscious, so I couldn't, you know, really tell what was going on. So when I did come to and kind of realize what was going on, what was happening, I didn't think of anything, you know, long term or short term. I was just wondering what happened. Just watching my team go out to battle, and I can't do anything to help them on the field. There's things you can do in the locker room to keep the guys encouraged, to keep the guys going, motivated, but it sucks. As a competitor, I want to be out there with the guys. I want to be able to go out there and, you know, help our guys win games. That's a terrible feeling that I could only watch from the sideline.
Now, let's move it back to the Jets for a moment.
Sure.
Robert Saleh spoke on his Jets team preparing for the Broncos.
We'll know about both quarterbacks, obviously, with Russell and the so many games that we've had against them, and trying to learn their backups. We know Josh Johnson's there. Is there, we're expecting him, if Russell's not able to go, expecting him to be called up, and we know him and his talent. And so their scheme is built. That's what they have. I think they're doing a really nice job, actually, with schematically, and whether people want to hear it or not, they're freaking close to clicking. So we'll be ready for all of them.
Don, how you feeling about the old Bronco Jets vehicle this weekend?
You just wonder, at what point are the Broncos going to get it right? Now, they're a very good defensive team, but this Jets defense is just as good, and the Broncos are just – who's their quarterback? You know, is it going to be
Jabroni Pumpleduck?
Is it going to be – is Wilson? I mean, at this point, I think if you're a Bronco fan, you'd rather see Rippon.
I think you would too, right? I mean, if nothing else, see if you get a spark. I saw a stat today, Don. Please tell me this is not real. Okay. That the Broncos in 2022 have as many torn ACLs as they have touchdowns.
It makes sense. And that's not an inordinate amount of ACLs.
It is an inordinate amount of touchdowns.
Yeah, it's really bad.
All right, that'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.